We're going to go ahead and jump in our series tonight because we're still talking about this awesome thing that happened in the book of Acts. So we're in Acts chapter 3, and we're in verses 17 to 26 tonight. And this is one of my favorite passages. I think I say that every week, but this is an awesome passage that talks to us about salvation and about repentance and these really cool themes that we get to see happen right in front of our eyes with this dude who has had this life-transforming thing happen at the temple. And so I'm going to read it to you guys. Read along with me. It says, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring, and all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people.' And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days, 'You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness.'" And as we've kind of seen this story, this awesome miracle that took place, and a beggar who could not walk, he's sitting outside the temple and he's begging his people come by. That was his living. That's what he did. He knew no other life. And all of a sudden, here come Peter and John, and they see him and treat him like a human. They look at him in the eyes, and they want him to look back, and they have this moment where there's more than just this miracle that happens physically to his body, but he's forgiven of his sins. His entire life is transformed from his heart all the way out to his body, and he's able to get up and leap and dance, and it says that he praises God because of this miracle. And as I see that, you know, we've talked the last couple of weeks about this transformation that drew all these people to see what was going on. Like, how could this happen? We've known this guy for almost 40 years. Like, how can he be walking and leaping and dancing and praising right now? He's never walked before. And then these two guys come along and they talk about this name we keep hearing, this Jesus who we hear does things. He's feeding people with a basket of food. He's feeding thousands of people. And he's just doing unbelievable things. And here comes this follower of Jesus, and they're doing the same thing. The same power is occurring right here in our town with people we know, and it becomes personal. And as it becomes personal to these people, and they're gathering around and they're listening, like they want to know why. They want to hear the deal here from these guys' mouths. What is happening? Tell us. Peter starts to explain the reason. He's like, "We want you to know. Like, this is exactly why God's doing this. So you'll come and ask the question. He wants you to see his power. So you'll gather around and go tell me about this." And so Peter is ready, and he gives them their answer tonight. And it's the same answer that a lot of us have already heard and received. It's the same thing that a lot, maybe some of us tonight need to hear, right where you are. 2,000 years later, after this story, you might be in the same position as some of these people. And as he answers them, he says in that first part, he says, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your brothers." He's about to talk about a really big sin that these people committed. Like, this was a big deal. And I know I'm using terms like big, and you're like, how can you rate the size of sins? And I don't know that you can, but you'll get me in a second, because here's what he says next. "But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled." Do you know that these people were responsible for killing the Son of God? Now think about all the things that you have done in your life. Where on the list did you kill God's only Son? And it's not that I'm coming tonight to make us rate sins and talk that one's bigger than the other. But if dudes who come around the Son of God, the Messiah, and hang him to a cross and crucify him and watch him die, can still be looked at by Peter and told that they can be forgiven, then there is no sin that you and I could ever commit that would hold us back from the grace of Jesus Christ. And here these guys are, and I'm sure they felt ashamed about them to know and to be called out about this. Like, man, we did that. Like, it was our people that gathered around and cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" at the cross. It was our people that decided to exchange a criminal for this perfect dude who'd never done anything wrong and have him hung on the cross instead. So this major thing that they did, I don't know, maybe you feel the same way that I do, that it would be hard to think I could be forgiven for something like that. And you might be sitting at home tonight thinking through your life and maybe even through some things that you've done. And there could be a guilt or a shame that you're feeling where you're like, man, could God really forgive me for that? Could I really have my life turned around like this guy because of the things that I've done, if he only knew? And here's an example where we're being told, yes, you can. God's grace is bigger than anything you've ever done. God's grace is only limited by himself, and he's infinite. And so as he looks at these people, he's offering something that was foretold by prophecy, this grace and forgiveness that they could have. And then he does this, okay? He turns from that and he says, so, repent therefore and turn back. He didn't just say like, oh, it's totally cool you did that. There's no repercussions. Like, our sin is bad, and we should be confronted by our sin, and we should be held accountable for our sin. God does not like sin, but he does have grace when we turn to him, and he does forgive our sin when we turn to him. And so there's this warning that Peter gives them, right? And once we say warning, it's like, oh, this is bad. This is a negative thing. But sometimes warnings are actually full of hope, because his warning is repent. Turn back, literally do a 180 degree turn in your life. Turn away from the world and the sin and the direction you're headed right now and look to Jesus. He's the opposite of the way you're living your life. Do a 180 degree turn and put your eyes on him and let him save you. Let him forgive you. Let his grace transform you, because you can't do it yourself. But you can turn. And you can look at Jesus and take your eyes off of the filth of your life and start looking up to heaven and say, Christ, I need you. And even that horrible sin that's stuck in your mind right now and you can't stop thinking about, even that would be forgiven. And I want to encourage you, because maybe tonight you need to repent. Maybe even some of us who are following Jesus right now are stuck in a sin that just got a stronghold in our life that we just can't shake, and we've been wrestling with it. And maybe tonight, even you need to just repent and hand it over to Jesus and say, you've died for this already. You've already forgiven me for this. Why am I still living in this? Lord, I turn my eyes back to you. I want to do a 180. I want to repent tonight. And here's why. He says that your sins may be blotted out. You know, even the worst sin you can think of, at least I can think of, killing God's own son, can be forgiven. And their very act, when they did that, as they repent, it's erased. It's blotted out. The law that brings charges against them to say, you're guilty of this, and that throws shame and guilt at you, Jesus steps in and says, no, not anymore. And his blood erases that sin off your ledger. And you're no longer guilty of it. You don't have to bear the shame of it anymore. Jesus says, I'm going to take that on myself, so you don't have to. And so repentance, this warning that Peter's giving us, brings hope, because it allows us to then have our sins blotted out, to be made brand spanking new. He doesn't just take, you know, old Rob or old Antonio and kind of fix it up a little bit so that we're still kind of like, we're all right now. He blots out our sin completely and makes us brand new creatures. And only Jesus can do that. And that's what he offers if we repent. Look what he says next that happens if you do repent. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Man, a transformed life that comes through repentance, it makes you brand new. There's a reason why next week during our baptisms, we've called that time together, that celebration, brand new. Because that's literally what Jesus has done in you if you've believed on him. He's taking your old life when you're born in death, and he's resurrecting you to a brand new person. And that's the symbol of baptism. As you go under the water, you're going into this death ground like Jesus was buried. And then you're being raised again. As you come out of that water, it's representing that Jesus rose again and that you get to raise again because you've believed on him. It's this expression of what's happened in your heart, what Jesus has done in you because you've believed. The water's not saving you. It's a representation that you're brand spanking new now. You're coming up out of death. You have new life. And so as you repent, that's what repentance does. It makes you new. It brings you in times of refreshing before the presence of the Lord where you can stand before God and not be ashamed anymore and not feel guilty because you know you're forgiven. And you're loved enough that he would die for you. He says next, Moses said, the Lord will raise up for you a prophet just like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him, whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who doesn't listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. So we've talked about the good news of this warning. The hope is that you can be saved, and that's God's desire, that you would repent and turn to him, and he would save you and forgive your sin. But there still is this negative warning that's here of something that would come, this penalty that happens if you choose to be an old creation and stay in your life of death, that there is a destruction that awaits you. That there is a true place called hell where you will be punished for eternity. And it's something we don't like to talk about, and we get mad when preachers bring it up and we think you're just preaching hellfire and brimstone, but the Bible talks about it. And it's a real place. And it's a real punishment that comes to those who don't believe, who don't repent. And I want to challenge you tonight, know that it is a real place. But Jesus loves you so much, he doesn't want you going there. He loves you so much, he died on a cross so you don't have to go there. And so the warning for you tonight of hope would be that if you repent, you can be brand new. You can spend eternity with Jesus, the lover of your soul, the one who died in your place. Your entire life, it all comes down to one choice. It really does. Of all the choices in your life, where to work and where to go to school and who to hang out with and what to do this weekend and so many choices, but it all comes down to one choice. This choice that we're talking about tonight. Will you choose him or will you reject him? Will you repent of your sin and turn around and look to Jesus, or will you continue on your path that's leading you to destruction, that's leading you to a place you don't want to go? I want to urge you to listen to a loving Savior tonight who, even through this message, is communicating to you through his word, and he's telling you, this is what I want to do in you. This is what I want to do in your heart. I desire that you spend eternity with me. That's the voice of Jesus tonight. I want to encourage you, would you repent? Would you turn around and follow Christ? He says this next. He says, and all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. Lots of prophets have talked about Jesus coming and doing this. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Jesus came. And the prophets foretold it. They said he was coming. And we got to see Jesus actually come, and actually die, and actually rise again. And today we get to stand and look back at those events that really happened. And we get to believe in a Jesus who did that because he loves us so much, as he comes back for a second time to make all things brand new. And the reason why tonight, the reason why that we've been talking about throughout this series, man, it's Jesus. We're here tonight. We come to church. We live this Christian life because of Jesus. He is the reason. And your reason to repent tonight is because Jesus has already suffered and paid for your sin. He's already done it. And so as you repent, you're turning to something Jesus has already accomplished for you, because he loves you that much. And so prophecies, they foretold it. Jesus has already done it, and now the choice is yours. Will you be brand new? If you want to be brand new, if you want to be forgiven and repent, I want to urge you, get in touch with us, DM us, wherever you're watching right now, DM us through that, call Firehouse. We want to talk to you about this and let you know how you can be saved, how you can be part of our baptisms next week. We want to have that conversation with you to see what's going on with you and God right now. And we want to help you walk through that and pray through that. And here's the last verse, okay? I want to end with this. It says, God, having raised up his servant, brought Jesus back to life, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Grace is so awesome. A gift that you and I don't deserve. Jesus is our grace. We didn't deserve a perfect Son of God to die for us. We didn't deserve him to go to a cross. We don't deserve forgiveness or eternal life. That's all a free gift. And a free gift is what grace is. Where God gives us what we don't deserve. And it turns you from your life right now of brokenness with no purpose to a life with purpose. Eye to eye, face to face with the God of the universe who loves you so much, he gave his only son to die for you. So I would ask you one last time tonight, will you repent? Either for the first time ever and be saved by Jesus, or believer who's out there listening who tonight you're just struggling. Maybe tonight you'll repent of those things that are holding you back from the fullness of a relationship with Christ. Let me pray for us tonight. Father, we love you so much. Thank you that you sent your only son, Jesus Christ, who never committed a sin, who was perfect, to die on a cross, a torturous death for us. And God, we know we don't deserve it, and we thank you for your grace. Tonight, I pray that if there are those hearing who have never repented, who have never turned away from their old life and turned to you and asked for forgiveness, I pray that tonight your Holy Spirit would convict those hearts. That even as people are listening, there would be those who are accepting you as their Savior, praying that to you, asking you right now to forgive them and to save them. And I pray for my brothers and sisters who are just struggling with sin and they need to repent. Would you grant them the boldness to repent of those things tonight? Turn away from them 180 degrees and walk the other direction toward you. We love you so much, Father. Thank you that Jesus is the reason why we can repent. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.